Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again and over here in Independence, Ohio, outside of Cleveland. It's a beautiful day. The temperature is nice, but we need to pray for the people in some of our southern United States where they say that there's a huge storm that is brewing and coming up. And God knows, you know, what's going on, and He's in charge. And I'm glad that the Lord is in charge, and He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And so today, our program once again is Where is God's Word? And as I listen to the radio programs, even on our station, there's great emphasis, and rightfully so, that we have to have an authority, and that is the Bible. And so that this is the standard, this is our authority, and so we must have that. Otherwise, we're not basing our religion on what we think God is like, because the Bible says God's thoughts are not our thoughts. As His heavens are high above the earth, so is His ways above our ways. And so it's not, a lot of people think whatever they think is what God thinks. No, He doesn't. He has His thoughts. He's our creator. He is infinitely intelligent. And we are the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. And we don't necessarily think like He does. And some people think, well, tradition is our authority, and maybe what the denomination, what the church says, and so on. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ is always connected with the with the Word of God. He is called the Word of God. And so He teaches in the Bible always that the Word of God liveth. It's a living thing that can reproduce itself, and it abides forever. And we need to have that. And the Bible says in Psalms 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt keep them from this generation forever. Thou shalt purify them. Thou shalt keep them this generation forever. And so, the Bible doesn't teach this way. It's called flapdoodleism, which is getting up there and saying the Greek says, and this is a better reading, a fortunate translation, all that nonsense that's going on. And a lot of times people that are talking like that don't even know what they're talking about. There's a lot of corrupt Greek text out there. I mean, for instance, Nestle's Greek text has New American Standard has is based on the 23rd edition of Nestle's Greek text, and originally put out by the Jesuits, and the New ASV New American New International Version is based on the 24th edition, and so they continue to change it all the time. You know, the modern textual writers will say that the modern texts are based on the eclectic text. Well, that means mixed manuscripts, manuscripts that disagree. But we have the Word of God that lives and abides forever. It's come down to us from the time of the apostles. And so God has told us that we should speak the same thing. And I'm going to talk about that today. At Pentecost, they were given the Word of God. And there was about 13 different languages that people heard the Word of God. So they got it at the time of Pentecost, and then later on, the Bible says the Word of God was spread, and it increased, and then the whole world heard the Word of God. So the Word of God was made. Possibly these translations, many of them could have been made by the apostles themselves. And we'll talk about that during this program. But the Lord says in 1 Corinthians, and I want to read this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have to go to the Greek. Oh, if you go to the Greek, the lexicon will say it's a gift. Well, you don't have to go there because the Bible defines itself. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift, so there's no need of a lexicon. The Bible defines itself, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so salvation and grace is a gift. It defines itself in God's Word. Now, it says, which is given you by Jesus Christ. In other words, all of God's gifts, all of his mercy, all of his forgiveness of sins, all of his blessings, all of his home in heaven, being part of God's family, comes through Jesus Christ. And so if you want to have the blessing of God, King David said it, and he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed are all they that put their faith in him. He had just said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee, and thou perish from the way. Who? The Son of God. I was talking to a Muslim friend of mine the other day, and he was saying, well, I told him, I said, the Bible teaches Jesus is God. He said, well, he didn't believe that. I said, well, the whole Bible teaches it. All the prophets teach it. King David said in Psalms, he says, kiss the Son, lest he perish from the way, the Son of God. And blessed are all they that put their faith in him. That's the whole teaching of the Bible. You put your faith in Christ, you go to heaven. If you reject him, you go to hell. You pay for your own sin and are separated from God. So God wants to give you grace. He wants you to be part of his great family. You're Muslim. You don't have to be beaten by the angels for your sins when you die. And you don't have to kill somebody to make sure that you're going to heaven. You can receive the Lord Jesus by faith, and you say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, which all the prophets taught from cover to cover. He said, well, my Muslim friend said, they didn't teach that. I said, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Child of God has come into the world, the Son of God is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. If you're saved, he's wonderful. How you like that, having the eternal God answer a specific prayer that you pray? And I've had it happen numbers of times, and millions of other people have. He listens to you when you pray. Counselor. He gives you direction so you don't get messed up in this life. The mighty God. And right there, Jesus is the mighty God. Now, some people might come to your house and say he's not. The Bible says he is. The Old Testament says he is. It doesn't matter what Mohammed says. All the prophets teach Jesus is the Son of God and he has his life from the Father. Therefore, he is God. And right here, Isaiah 9:6, the great prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the Lord said he was going to be born and he's going to be God's child and he's going to be called the mighty God. You can't stop him. He's has all power in heaven and earth, and he laughs at his enemies because he created the universe. The Bible says the whole universe is upheld by the word of his power. You think you can do anything? All through my life, I've seen him overcome his enemies, and his enemies are... He's making fools out of him all of his life. All of my life I've seen it do it. His enemies sometimes are printing by King James Bibles. And, you know, his enemies attacked the King James for 100 years, which is God's word. And every other translation comes and goes because it's not the word of God. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. It can reproduce itself and go on. And it says, by the grace of God, which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that ye come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is, he is getting ready to come back to this planet. And you know, the nations of the world are uniting against Israel. And finally, in their insanity and in their deception, they're going to send an army there to divide up the land of Israel and take it from the Jewish people, which God has given to them. God said, it's my land. I've given it to Israel, given it to the Jews. Anybody that believes the Bible believes that. Anybody that believes in the Bible, what Jesus said, believes that. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. You can't. You shouldn't be calling yourself a Christian if you don't believe what the Bible says. And so it says, waiting for the coming, our Lord Jesus. So they're going to go to the land of Israel, and when they get there, the armies of the world, Jesus is coming back in power and great glory, and he is going to defeat those armies, and he is going to walk down through the Kidron Valley, walk up the other side, and walk through the Eastern Gate, which God said would be shut until he comes in, which is shut today, just as the Bible said. The gate will collapse. He'll walk through the gate, and he will sit down on the Mount of Olives, and he will be the President of the United States. He will be the king of England. He will be the ruler of China, the ruler of India, the ruler of Russia, every single country on this planet. And I tell you, everybody that's in the hospital and people that are dying and people that are just passing out suddenly will be instantly healed. And suddenly the whole world will begin to bloom with flowers and every single problem on earth will be solved within instantly. Now it says, we're waiting for that coming of our Lord, who shall confirm you to the end. Now it says, when you get saved, there's people that believe you can be saved and lose your salvation. Well, they serve a very weak God. They serve a God that can't fight his way out of a paper bag. I'm not holding on to God. God's holding on to me. And it says, he shall confirm you unto the end. This is taught from cover to cover. He, who? Jesus Christ. Now, if you receive him, when you receive him, you repent of your sins. Say, I have sinned against you, Almighty God. With all my heart, I'm willing to turn from my sin. And I accept Jesus Christ as Lord. That means you're the boss. You're my creator. You have a right to tell me what to do. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, the one that died for my sins and was punished in my place. And Jesus said, and I don't care what any backslidden preacher says or what all the denominations in the world say, Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. My lands, you can't get it any clearer than that. I will in no wise cast out. And you know, today, no matter what you've done in the past, you're out there today. Thank God you could come to Jesus. I don't understand much, but I believe you died for my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask you the best way I know how to be my Lord. You're the boss. You're my God. And please forgive my sins. I believe you died in my place, rose from the dead. And you tell that to the Lord, save me. The dying thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all he said. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus said, all the Father giveth me will come to me. And all that came to me, I have lost none of them. Why don't you believe that today? Why can't you believe that? That's God's word. It doesn't matter what people say. You know, one place it says, you say, well, they said they were Christian and they're no longer serving God. You know what St. John said? He said, in the Bible, by the Holy Spirit, they went out from us because they were not one of us. For if they had been one of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. Can't you get that? It's so simple. And that, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And it says, God says, he will confirm you to the end that ye may be blameless. When is the end? The day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the day of the rapture, if you compare scripture with scripture. And then it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is faithful to confirm you to the end. It's not you being faithful. It's him being faithful. Now, I want to be faithful to the Lord, but I'm unfaithful times. I mean, I miss it. But thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. And it says right here, he is faithful. It says, he will confirm me blameless, and he is faithful to do that. I'm going to meet God without any blame. There's going to be no record that I've ever sinned. And if you're saved, it's the same for you. What a wonderful Lord and Savior that is. That's the message that we're given today. Now, because of this, and this is for all you preachers out there and for you Christians, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. I listen to the radio, one preacher uses one translation, another one preaches another translation. Everybody has a different translation, and Muslims are taught in Saudi Arabia that Christians have many Bibles. And I've heard them bring it up to me, and they tell me, well, you guys got many Bibles, we only have one. I said, yeah, we have. I said, there are many Bibles out there, they're counterfeits. We only have one real one, and that's called the Authorized King James Bible. Now, why do we say that? Because the evidence is that this is based on translations that came down to us from the apostles. And it says we are to speak the same thing. Is preacher A had to have one translation that agrees with disagrees with preacher B that has another translation? You know, in these translations, the Bible talks about people making merchandise out of you. See, they have to change the words to keep the copyright to make money on these Bibles. They change words just to, and then it's based on a corrupt text, the text out of Egypt, and God warns us out of Egypt. It's called the Alexandrian text. And then with all their theories, today you read any textual historian, they call it the eclectic text. I mentioned it already. That means mixed because they change it. Nestle's 23rd edition is changed to Nestle's 24th edition. And they're constantly changing these texts by theories by people that are unsaved. I mean, you can read it. Read the book Hazardous Materials. And in this book, and you could look that book up, The Voice of Strangers, how Unitarians, they don't believe Jesus is God. The Bible teaches he's God from cover to cover. The Old Testament, all the prophets teach this. And they make up false text. They make false lexicons that they use for dictionaries. And when people correct it and use these modern versions, it's just full of corruption. And the corruptions are there. We know who did it. There's a 700-page book, Hazardous Materials, The Voice of Strangers. And, man, I mean, it points it. It quotes them. It has it documented. And you can check it for yourself. I tell you, check what I'm saying for yourself. Now, what keeps this mess going with all these corrupt versions? And most of them teach that Jesus' father is Joseph. I mean, Joseph. Luke 2:33, and yet in the same chapter, the Lord Jesus corrects Mary for saying it because she's covering up. And she says, your father and I sought you sorrowfully. And Jesus, in front of the doctor's law, said, I must be about my father's business. But these false translations, and yet in the same chapter, they will call Joseph Jesus' father in Luke 2:33. The King James in the text came down from the apostles, says Joseph and his mother. Joseph is not Jesus' father. God is his father. And God being his father makes him God too. You get your life from your father. My name's Musselman. My life came from my father. And so I'm a Musselman. I have the life of my father in me. And so Jesus is that. You know, the modern ones, they'll say, the King James says, the Word of God says, the only begotten Son of God. And it says, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. Well, that means the life of Abraham was in Isaac, and the life of Isaac was in Jacob, begot. And so it says that God, talks about the only begotten Son of God. The life of the Father is in the Son. Then it says in the modern ones, the one and only Son. Well, that's a lie because God has many sons. As many as received him, to them he gave you power to become the sons of God. So God says, you know this commandment that Jesus says right here. This is, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ given by the Holy Spirit that ye spake the same thing. Having all these different translations, is that speaking the same thing? You say, well, they're based on the same meanings. No, they're not. There's thousands of different meanings. They're not. They don't come from the same text. They come from corrupt texts out of Alexandria, and God warns you against Egypt over and over again, and that there be no divisions among you. Well, you cannot. Of course there's divisions if you have different versions constantly. And God has showed us the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Every translation lands, when the advertising goes, it disappears. I can remember translations years ago that were being promoted and everybody's talking about them. You never even hear about them anymore. But the King James goes right on. 5 billion copies out there. Every new generation goes back. Why? The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. That's the apostles. And then he will abide with you forever. That's referring to God's people. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he leads people back to the true text all the way along the line. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Well, how could you do that when you got different translations that disagree? This is the most crazy, mad thing, and we've been trying to say this that you can imagine. It's ridiculous. You know, Moody Bible Institute today, they don't teach what Moody says. Moody started the King James Bible. Check it out. Because this corruption was already out there. Westcott and Hoare, that brought it in. They went to hear Moody, and they talked very arrogantly about Moody. And he, at that time, all this stuff was out, and Spurgeon's talked against it, these corrupt versions. Billy Sunday talked against it. Finney said that he shouldn't correct it. Talmage said it was a perfect translation. What do you need to know? God has shown us where his word is. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you read the King James, you're reading the last word from heaven. And God has told you he'd preserve his word. You know, they don't teach that in seminaries today. Why? Origen set up the first seminary, and he put out his corrupt text. Eusebius passed it on, and Constantine, Eusebius put out these Bibles for Constantine, and then later on, Tischendorf picked up Sinaiticus, which probably was written right before Tischendorf picked it up. There was a debate about that in the 19th century, and Vaticanus probably put out by Constantine. It has been promoted by the Pope. These are corrupt translations. Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, the basis for the modern versions, disagree in 3,000 words. And it's put out by Westcott and Hort, who were evolutionists. I mean, it's just, we have been saying this over and over again, and if you doubt it, check it out for yourself. You know, we have done this. We've done the research. Now it says, you're to be joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Well, praise the Lord. That's what God has told us. That's the command of Jesus. You know, it's just like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and thou shalt speak the same thing. That's what it says. The same thing. A preacher was preaching the other day, and it's so typical. He said, preach a good sermon on the gospel, you know, on being true to the gospel. But he took out the name of Christ because his version has taken out the name of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. And the names of Jesus in most of these modern corruptions have been taken out 100 places in the New Testament alone. And the Old Testament text has been corrupted too. God said in the Old Testament, Isaiah 59, 20 and 21, this is the covenant I make with Jacob, with a house of Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth or out of the mouth thy seed or out of the mouth thy seed seed from this generation forever. And it's talking to Jacob, Israel. And they had the Hebrew Masoretic text, and people tried to attack it. But it's the text that was preserved. They found it in the Dead Sea Scrolls just within. They found 1,000 words or something, and not one word changed. And the King James translators used that text. And in the New Testament, they used the text that was, it mentions on the day of Pentecost, they were given the gift of tongues, and there was 13 languages, and it mentions the languages, and it says, every man heard them in his own language in which he was born. Now, today, when somebody goes to a foreign country, they need a translator. When they had the gift of tongues back then, they didn't need a translator. If they had that today, any evangelist that had the gift of tongues like the apostles could go to any foreign country and they would hear them speak in their own language. And then it said the word of God increased, and then it said the whole world heard the word of God. And so the whole world heard it. Translations were made. And today, when the King James translators came out, they looked at these translations that went back to apostolic times. We don't know how many of them were translated by the apostles themselves. The Syriac Peshitta text, they based the King James on. The Gothic text, many of the words in the King James are put there by the Gothic text Euthylus. They say he did it in 335, but it may have come long before him. The Anglo-Saxon text, which backs up the King James Bible, the Koine Greek text. All of these texts back up the King James text. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he would guide them into all truth. Yes, I believe he guided those translators. And we have it today. Thy word is true from the beginning. And we can look in the King James Bible. We can read what God said. And praise the Lord. And you know, the Bible says the word of God is even good for your flesh. It will help your physical body if you read it. It will give you peace. It will give you joy. It will give you stability. It is the life of Jesus Christ. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And we have it today in the Authorized King James Bible. You can go down to your dollar store and pick one up for a dollar or two. And you could have God's Word, the last thing from heaven.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.